I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, of course, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every year when we come to a day like today, we will all shout the victory cry. He is risen, and we are going to do the same today. He is risen. All right, let us say it. He is risen. All right, one more time. He is risen. And now loudest. He is risen. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is alive indeed. He is risen. The subject this morning is, because I live, ye shall live also. And I speak from this verse, John chapter 14, verse 19. Now let me read you the passage that we read earlier on, and then I'll go into the message. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will be focusing on this passage today and on another one or two passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, your faith is useless. Verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep, in other words, all those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ, believers who died in the Lord Jesus Christ, are perished, if Christ did not rise up from the dead. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And then John chapter 14, verse 19, right, the verse that I'm speaking from today. Yet a little while, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Some time ago, I met this young Caucasian Aussie, who I thought could have gone to church when he was younger. So I gave him the gospel. I asked him, I said, have you heard of the gospel before? He said, yes, I have. I heard of the gospel when I was a child. As a child, I went to Sunday school. But he said, but it's only a story. But I said, my dear friend, it is more than a story. It is a true story. And I said to him, my friend, suppose one day somebody came and said to you, I'm somebody very great. In fact, I'm God. Now, what would you say to him? Would you not think that this person is either a deceiver, a liar, or one whose upstairs is not quite right? Yes, something is wrong with his mind. Yes. And then he said, yeah, it's quite true. Then I said, but if he said to you, I'm God. Yes, I'm God. I come to this world for the purpose of saving sinners. And people are not going to like what they hear from me. They are not going to like what I say. And because of that, they are going to kill me. And after they have killed me, on the third day, I will rise again. Now then, if that person didn't rise up from the dead, what would you think of him? I asked him. I said, of course you would think of him as somebody who is a perfect liar, or somebody who was a perfect liar, or somebody who was not right in the mind. Yes. But I said, if that person said those things to you, and if he did rise up from the dead, then you must pay attention to him, right? He said, oh, I didn't think about this gospel that way before. Yes, but we didn't have a chance to very much continue with the conversation, and we went separate ways. But I trust that what I said to him that day would have set him thinking, and in time might cause him to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes, because he lives, my dear friends, because he lives, we must pay attention to what he says. Yes, because all that he said must be true. He said, you crucify me, you kill me on the third day, I will rise again. And he did rise again from the dead. Then all that he said must be true. All his promises must be true. His resurrection must necessarily confirm what he said is absolutely true. And he says in John chapter 14, verse 19, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Surely this statement must be absolutely true. Because I live, ye shall live also. You will have everlasting life. And that's what we want to consider this morning. Yes, I'd like us to consider these four letters from the word life, L-I-F-E, life. First, life is worth living. And then number two, we'll talk about the insecurity concerning death removed. That's the letter I. And then F, the future may be faced triumphantly or victoriously. And then E is effectual prayer may be made unto him. Effective prayers may be made unto the living Savior. Now, because he lives, life is worth living. On the Sunday, on the first Sunday after the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, two of his disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus. They were walking from the city of Jerusalem. Now, these two disciples were very, very sad. Remember, this was the first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. Yes, the two disciples were very, very sad, very, very dejected, because on Friday, their master, their leader, was crucified. Yes, they must have been very, very disappointed, because the Lord Jesus Christ had given them much hope while he ministered on this earth. Yeah, he performed great and mighty miracles in their sight. They saw those miracles, and the Lord had also given them much hope. And these disciples who followed the Lord Jesus Christ believed that he was the Messiah, who would come to deliver them from the rule of the Romans. But now he was crucified. He died and he was buried. As it were, all their hopes were buried with him. Then Jesus appeared to them. He appeared unrecognized by them. And then and we read in the Word of God in Luke chapter 24. If you turn to Luke chapter 24, I'd like us to read this passage. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 17. Luke 24, verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his two disciples, one of whom was was named Cleopas. Verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, remember, he was not recognized by them yet. Jesus didn't reveal himself to them. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are read and are said? Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Their belief was shattered. Yes, they said, we were hopeful that this would be the Messiah who would deliver us from the rule of the Romans. We had hoped that he would redeem us. We were hopeful that this would be our Savior. But now we are very, very sure that this is not going to happen. All the promises that he made to us are not going to be fulfilled. And verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. The lady folks, women folks had gone to the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, these disciples said, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And verse 24, and certain of them which were with us, namely the disciples. And the certain disciples that are referred to here were of course Peter and John. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. The stone was moved, the tomb was empty, but him they saw not. Now, these two disciples believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Obviously not. That is why they were so sad, so discouraged, so disappointed. Now, if you were there, think of yourself, put yourself in the shoes of these two disciples. If you were there who had pinned all their hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Lord Jesus Christ was killed, dead, buried. Now, what would you say to yourself? They say, our hopes were on him, absolutely. Now, what is there to live for? Life is really not worth living. We had trusted that he would deliver us, but now this is not going to happen. All the promises that he made to us are not going to be fulfilled. All that we had hope in him are now buried with him. And then what happened next? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made himself known to them. At first he appeared to them, unrecognized by them. Now he revealed himself to them. You see, it was late in the afternoon and they were going to this village of Emmaus, late in the afternoon, and then these two disciples invited the Lord Jesus Christ to stay with them. And the Lord stayed with them. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and many knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, while they were walking, what the Lord Jesus Christ did was this. He revealed to them, he expounded scriptures to them from the book of Moses through the Psalms to the prophets, talking about himself, talking about the need that the Savior must suffer first and then enter into glory. And verse 33. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. The two disciples rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 disciples, because Judas, one of the 12, had gone to commit suicide. Yes, he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and had gone to commit suicide. And then that was with them. So they returned to Jerusalem, met with these 11 disciples and those other disciples who were with them. Now, when they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive, what a great transformation came upon them. One moment, it was sadness of the most extreme kind. Now, the next moment, what was it, friends? It was jubilation of the most extreme kind. Of course, their legs were tired after walking that long distance from the city of Jerusalem to near the place where Emmaus was. They were tired. But now, my dear friends, no matter how tired they were, I think they would have lost their tiredness. And straight away, they rose up and they returned to the city of Jerusalem. Their hearts burned within them while the Lord talked with them and walked with them. They were filled with hope, filled with joy. One moment, it was life not worth living. But now, it was different. It was life worth living. All that he said, it must be true. His promises must be true. We have everlasting life. We have abundant life. So they must have said. My dear friends, if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not alive, and we are still clinging to our belief on him, how miserable we would be. Yes. What point is there to believe in a Savior who couldn't even save himself? Yes. Who died, who couldn't save himself. Then what point is there to believe in a God who cannot deliver because he's dead? Like Like the great apostle Paul, I think we would have to say, we are of all men most miserable. Isn't it true? If our Savior is not alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 17 to 19. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Your faith is useless. You are yet in your sins. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. How true. But our Savior is alive, my dear friends. Because he lives, we will live also. Life is worth living. Because there's real meaning in life. It's worth living. There's real meaning in life. Now, what is the meaning in life? What is the meaning of life? Now, the meaning of life is, of course, to glorify the Lord, to glorify God and to enjoy Him. The Word of God says it this way, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is the real meaning of life. Now, what meaning is there if you try to glorify a God, but the God is dead? The God that you try to glorify is dead. What meaning is there? But I now know that there is meaning in glorifying this God, because this God is alive. Jesus, my God, is alive. Therefore, I can say, I will glorify him. Yes, I will do it, because he is alive. Now, the purpose of life is to enjoy him. Now, can you enjoy a God who is dead? Of course you can't. Yes, the God that you believe in dead is dead. How could you enjoy him? Now, I know this couple who had only one son, one and only son, no other children. This son was a pretty intelligent boy. He did very well in school. He graduated from the university, and then he joined the working world. He was very impressive. His employer liked him very much, and then the employer sent him abroad on an assignment. But during the time when he was performing his assignment abroad, he was killed in an accident. Now, this couple were believers. The son was also a believer. Of course, when the son was alive, they could enjoy the son. And the very thought of him must have delighted them. But now the son was dead. How could they enjoy the son? They could not enjoy the son. Likewise, my dear friends, if our Savior is dead, we could never ever enjoy him. But our Savior is alive. And thankfully, this couple were believers. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And although their son was dead and they could not enjoy their son, they could still enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ and could live life in a meaningful way. Life would have been completely meaningless and would not be worth living if they didn't have this living Savior as the Lord and their God. And then how sad it is to see idol worshippers who are very, very devoted to their idols. Idols which have eyes but see not. Idols which have noses but that smell not. Idols that have ears but hear not. Yes. Now, if these idol worshippers' delight and devotion to their gods are very, very sincere, then they must be people who are very, very deluded. But friends, we can enjoy this God of ours. And I say we can enjoy him. Just like these two disciples whose heart burned within them when they were walking along the road to the village of Emmaus. We can enjoy him because he is alive. Today, I ask you, are you discouraged, despairing, throwing up your hands in despair? You are saying to yourself, life is not worth living, because life is so meaningless. Now, friends, you need have to feel that way, because there is meaning in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are feeling that way, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Yes, this Savior will give you meaning in life. Come and believe in him. Trust in him. Remember the two disciples, dejected, discouraged, lost all purpose of living. And when the Lord Jesus Christ walked with them, talked with them, their hearts burned within them. Friends, if you come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will find real meaning in life. Now, because he lives, the sincerity that the insecurity concerning death is removed because he lives. Because he lives, the question after that, what after death, what is assuredly answered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He answers it in this manner: because I live, ye shall live also. After death, you will live also. Of course, there are those who are not fearful of death, although they could be atheists. Yes, they believe that life and death are just a part of natural history. I live today, tomorrow I die, I become dust, and I just become a nutrients that feed other living things. And they are able to live that way, thinking that way, and are still not fearful of death. But I dare say that the majority of people are fearful of death. Yes, because they can't adequately answer this question. After death, what? They feel great insecurity concerning death. To them, death is a leap into the unknown. Now, who is not afraid of the unknown? I would say that very few people are not afraid of the unknown. I would say that the majority of people are afraid of the unknown. Yes, but to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, beyond the grave is not an unknown. The Lord has said it very, very clearly. I said it over and over again. Because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives, we know that all his promises are true, including this very wonderful promise: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You believe in him, you have everlasting life. And because he believes, we can say, as the great apostle Paul said, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, Paul says, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes, these statements made by Paul would then be absolutely true. Because he lives, we know that when we are absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord. Yes, when our soul separates from our body, when we die, our soul goes straight into the arms of our living Savior. Because he lives, that will surely happen. Now, there is great insecurity and fear concerning death for many, because beyond the grave, it is not only a leap into the unknown, but it is a leap into hell. Listen to those leaping into hell on their deathbeds. I refer you, first of all, to this great infidel by the name of Voltaire, right? I think lots of us must have heard of this philosopher Voltaire. He said this: I'm abandoned by God and man, I shall go to hell. He said those words on his deathbed, Voltaire. Hobbes, I mentioned him two or three messages ago. This atheist, an English philosopher who lived in the 17th century, he said, I am taking a fearful leap into the dark. What dark? Into the dark. The darkness of hell, of course. And Sir Francis Newport, head of an infidel club in England, who lived in the 19th century. Listen to what he said. You need not tell me there is no God. Of course, when he was the chief of the infidel club, he would be saying, there is no God, there is no God. But now, on his deathbed, he said, you need not tell me there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his presence. You need not tell me there is hell. I feel myself already slipping into it. You wretched, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I'm lost forever. Oh, that fire, oh, that insufferable pangs of hell. These were words spoken by infidels, by atheists. But friends, beyond the grave need not be a leap into hell, need not be a leap into the unknown. Because Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, listen to the testimonies of those whose insecurity concerning death was removed. Now listen to this man, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Sir David Brewster, who lived in the 19th century. He was a scientist and inventor of the kaleidoscope. He said, "I will see Jesus. I shall see him as he is. I have the light. I have had the light for many years. Oh, how bright it is. I feel so safe and feel so satisfied." Great scientist. He said those words. I quote another scientist, Michael Faraday, who lived in the 19th century. He was a chemist, electrical engineer, and leading British scientist. As he neared his death, he replied to a scientist who asked him what he would do in heaven. He said this, "Eye has not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I shall be with Christ, and that is enough." When a journalist interjected and questioned him as to his speculation about a life after death, he said, "What speculations? I know nothing about speculations. I'm resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I shall live also." Now, this was the testimony of this great man, Sir Michael Faraday. Yes, I don't know whether he was knighted or not, but he was Michael Faraday. Little Kenneth was very sick. He felt that he was not going to get well. Turning to mother, who sat near him on his bedside, he asked mother, "Mother, what is it like to die?" Now, if you were a mother, how are you going to answer that question? Kenneth asked mother, "Mother, what is it like to die?" Mother was filled with grief, and she did not know how to answer her little son, who was so very, very sick. And so he said, "Kenneth, you please excuse me. I must go to the kitchen. I'll be right back." Hurrying into the kitchen, she prayed, "Lord, show me how to answer little Kenneth's question." And immediately the Lord answered her prayer. And then she returned, sat next to little Kenneth, and she said to her son, "Kenneth, you know how you have often played hard and gotten very tired in the evening. And then you have come into my room after you felt so very tired, and you climbed upon my bed and gone to sleep. Later, your father carried you into his arms and put you in your own bed. And in the morning, you have wakened and found yourself in your own room without knowing how you get there, how you got there." Kenneth said, "Yes, mother, I know that." "Well, Kenneth, death is something like that for God's children. Jesus spoke of death as sleep. God's children go to sleep when they die. Later at the resurrection, they will arise and be with Christ forever. Heaven is a wonderful place, Kenneth." Kenneth smiled. "Mother, I won't be afraid to die anymore. I'll go to sleep and later wake up and be with Jesus forever. I know God will take care of me." Now, how could he be with Jesus forever if Jesus didn't rise up from the dead? My dear friends, little Kenneth believed in Jesus, and he believed in a living Savior. Because he lives, the future can be faced victoriously. And that's my next point, F. The future can be faced victoriously. Now, first consider the future on this earth. Now, one of the things that we might dread at the start of the year is the future, isn't it true? Yes, we might allow negative thoughts to come into our mind that would take the joy of celebrating the new year away. Now, we ask ourselves questions like this: is it going to be a good year or a bad year? Now, I think if we are pessimistic, we'll then be saying, "Well, I don't think it's going to be a good year. I think it might be a bad year." Sometimes we might not just think of the year ahead of us, but we might think of 4 or 5 years or 10 years down the road. Yes, what would it be like for me in 5 years' time? Would I be struck down by an incurable disease? Would I meet with a terrible accident? How well would I be doing in my studies? Would I still be holding a job? What kind of job would I be doing? Yeah, would I be fired from my job? And so forth. Many, many negative thoughts if you are pessimistic. But friends, let's have this confidence. Because he lives, we need not allow the uncertainties of the future to trouble us. You know why? Because we have one absolute certainty. You know what that certainty is? Jesus said, this to us. He says this to us all today. Lord, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That's what he says to us today. So we have this absolute certainty. And if we stay close to him, if we stay close to him, we will sense his walking with us, talking with us, just as the two disciples walking on the road of Emmaus to the village of Emmaus, sensing the Lord Jesus Christ talking with them and walking with them, and felt their hearts burning within them. Yes, we'll feel the same way, my dear friends, if we walk close to him. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And we can be assured that this is absolutely true because he's alive, he's living today. And because he lives, we can be very, very confident that he is absolutely in control of everything, over the affairs of men, over my affairs. We can be very, very sure that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Then to us who are more senior in years, as we think of the future, we might think of the number of times that we are going to see those beautiful things around us, the beautiful mountains, the beautiful rivers, the beautiful beaches around us. Yes, we might think that the number of times that we look at these things or see these things would be reducing very, very rapidly, and that we have got very, very few more times left to see them. Now, here in Sydney, of course, we have beautiful bridges, we have beautiful rivers. Sometimes, when you drive over a bridge, do you not think, ask yourself, how many more times will I be driving over this bridge? Now, when you drive over the bridge, I'm very inclined to do that. When I drive over a bridge, I'll be looking on the two sides of the bridge. I'll be looking at the beautiful, it's something very picturesque. I'll be looking at the beautiful sights on the river banks. I ask myself, how many more times will I be crossing this bridge? And I know for sure that after I've crossed that bridge, it will be one time less. I'm very sure of that. Isn't it very true? Well, friends, cheer up. Even though it is one time less or two times less, and you know that the number of times that you're going to cross that bridge will be reduced significantly as time goes by. But cheer up, you're going to have a greater and longer future than the beautiful bridges, beautiful rivers, beautiful mountains, beautiful beaches. Yes, you're going to outlive them. Yes, you can actually tell the beautiful mountains, the beautiful rivers, the beautiful beaches, and so forth, and the beautiful rivers. Yes, I will still be alive after you are long gone. And that is true, my dear friends, because he lives, I will live, and I will live forever. When I die, for sure my body will go into the ground. Yes, but my soul goes right to be in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, my living Savior. One day when he returns, my body will be resurrected from the grave, and my body and my soul will come together again. I'll be transformed. This body will be transformed, and I'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ when I see him face to face. And then I know that I'm going to outlive all these beautiful things around me. Because you know why? One day I'll be living in the new heaven and the new earth. This old earth, this old heaven will pass away. The word of God says, this old earth with all these beautiful things, beautiful rivers, beautiful mountains, beautiful beaches are all going to pass away. Yes, I'll be outliving them because I'll be living in a new heaven and new earth. Why is this possible? Now, this is possible because my Savior is alive. Yes, that's why it is possible. And because he lives, our prayer may be effectual. That's my final point. Now, what's the point of praying to a God who is dead? A God who is not able to save himself? A God who is not able to answer our prayers because he's dead? But friends, our Savior is alive. Therefore, our prayers may be effectual. Now listen to what the Lord says in John chapter 16. If you very, very quickly refer to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, verses 12 to 14. John 16, verse 12. And ye now therefore have sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ was saying to his disciples, but I will see you again, because the Lord Jesus Christ was going to rise up from the dead. So he said, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no more taketh from you. Verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Yes, ask, and that your joy may be full. Now, why is it that when we ask, God will surely answer our prayers? Why is it when we ask, our joy will be full? The answer is this. You see, today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ actually has already ascended up to heaven. He's alive, ascended up to heaven, and today he is at the right hand of God praying for us, interceding for us. Yes, today when we pray, when we are very, very sad, very depressed, disappointed, our prayers could be garbled, right? Sometimes we find it hard to frame our prayers. Our prayers can sound very, very unintelligible. But friends, remember, our Savior is praying for us. Our perfect High Priest is praying for us. When we pray through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we pray through His name, what happens is this: our Savior will take our garbled prayers and reframe them so that our prayers will be transformed, so that when these prayers come before the one true living God, they will be prayers of the most eloquent kind in the ears of the one true living God. And he will answer our prayers, my dear friends, if we pray through the name of our living Savior. Yes. So what is our prayer request today? This is his promise. He says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You seek, you ask, you knock, in accordance to the will of the Heavenly Father. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ always did. When he prayed, he always prayed in accordance to the will of the Heavenly Father. If we seek, ask, knock, and in accordance to the will of the Heavenly Father, God will surely answer our prayers. Our prayers may be effectual because our Savior lives. He's alive today. Because he lives, we shall live also. Because he lives, life is worth living. There is meaning in life because Jesus is alive. Alive for us to glorify. Alive for us to enjoy. Because he lives, the insecurity concerning death has been removed. We know exactly where we are going when we leave this earth. Yes, death is not a leap into the unknown. Death is not a leap into hell. But friends, when we die, we know that our soul goes straight away into the arms of this living Savior. To be absent from this body is to be present in the will be present with this living Savior of ours. Because he lives, we have a secure future. Because he lives, yes, we know that he is with us till the end of the world. Even for all eternity, he will be with us. When this present earth and present heaven pass away, we will continue to live. Why is this possible? This is possible because our Savior is alive. Because he lives, we know that our prayers will be answered. We do not pray to a dead God, but we pray to a living God, to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is alive today. So do you know that Jesus is alive today? You say, I know that he's alive today. But friends, to say that he's alive is one thing. But it is quite another thing to really commit your life to him. If you know that he's alive today, why would you commit your life to him? Why wouldn't you come and trust in him as Lord and Savior? If you say he's alive, that is the most sensible thing to do. Why don't you do it today and come and trust in him, and you'll find that life is indeed worth living. And for us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how thankful we must be to him that we have this living Savior living in our hearts, so that we may be able to live our lives victoriously for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, O Lord God, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is our living Savior. And we thank you that he dwells in our hearts today. We pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, that you will speak to their hearts. Cause them to realize that this Savior of ours is alive and is waiting for them to come to him. Lord, we pray that you will be very gracious to speak to those who are still outside your kingdom. Cause them, O Lord, to come and trust in this living Savior, so that they will live as he said they will live, because he is alive. And Lord, we pray for all those of us who have trusted in him already. We pray that we may realize that we have this living Savior living in us all the time, and that if we walk close to him, we will be able to sense his presence with us, and that we will be filled with the joy of the Lord every day. Lord, we pray that you will be with your people today. Cause us to spend this day in a very, very meaningful way. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.